it's the very, very last California podcast for me.
It's
the 21st of February and the last podcast I'll be doing in California.
Well, I'll represent from the West Coast, baby.
Oh my goodness, there's just so much going on. So much.
Are you guys packed up at least?
Pretty much. I mean, I was just telling Bob that I feel like yesterday I didn't do anything and I felt guilty. And of course he reminded me, which I already knew, we have pretty much everything finished, you know, as far as all the major stuff. The only stuff we have left are things in the kitchen, which I'm going to get to probably today or tomorrow. As far as like the stuff we're not using, you know, the what is that long-term cooker thing? I never know the freaking
name. Is that what you would call a crock pot?
Slow cooker. Thank you. Like the slow cooker.
The long-term cooker
the
thing.
The long-term cooker thing. Anyway, you know that and the
and the thing with the hot
and
wires
the
that makes my bread crisp.
Yeah, and the blender and, you know, things that we're not really using. So, but yeah, we're living in box hell pretty much. I've got my computer in front of me on a box. And so, you know, I mean, it's good. And of course, the movers are coming on Monday morning. It hasn't rained in weeks. It's not going to probably rain for weeks. It's only going to rain on Monday morning. So,
yeah, but
yay
you know
for
what?
That.
It's okay. But then it'll be fine.
But listen to this. This cracks me up. My dad's such a dork. He's retired and he has, you know, not a lot to do. So Bob and I just shipped our cars back east and he picked them up. So he's busy, you know, getting them inspected, and they have to pass inspection in order for us to get registered. So anyway, he was, you know, he likes this because he's retired and he doesn't have much to do. So this is giving him something to do and he gets to feel all, you know, like he's excited that I'm finally moving back there since I was 9 years old. And so he explained that it's going to be raining on the day that, so what we did was we've set it up that we're going to be moving into our place on the date we fly in, which is the 27th, but we're signing the lease and getting everything done on the 24th so that my parents can go in and, you know, get some furniture in there for us so that when we land, we can go straight to our new home. I have a neurotic cat and I don't want her, you know, she pees on things when she's upset. So, especially
That's
with other animals
a
around.
Pleasure.
So yeah. So, I mean, this way she can just go straight to her new home and there won't be any other pets and whatever. So anyway, he's telling me, you know, he's going to bring up he and my brother and a couple other guys are going to bring up a mattress for us to sleep on until our bed arrives. And so my father's like, well, it's going to be raining. And so, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I explained to him that there are plastic mattress covers and that I actually have one from my old move and that he could just go to like Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever and find one. So he goes, okay, I'll just go in there and ask for a big mattress condom.
Oh my God.
I'm like, yes, Dad, do that. He's like, I'll tell him I'm really well endowed.
Oh my gosh.
So
I love him.
Yeah.
Don't you love dad humor?
Yes. He's such a dad.
It's just so cheesy and so plentiful, at least from, you know, where I come from. My dad just had the most obvious, hilarious sense of humor.
Yeah.
And people just gathered around to hear what sort of cheesy spoon-fed joke he was going to give us.
Well, it's like he called yesterday on our landline because Bob's car has some tinted windows that I guess, you know, don't fly in Maryland. They have to be removed in order to pass inspection. So father calls and he leaves a message because neither one of us answered. And he's like, hi, Bob, this is Ken Johnson. Kimberly's father. Oh, my God. He's so weird. And then what's really funny is if you call his cell phone, you have like the automated recording that says you have called blah 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 or you have reached, and then you hear him go Ken Johnson. It's so funny.
I'm gonna choke. Oh, that's so perfect. It's like when my mom picks up her iPhone and starts just mad tapping the screen and goes, Siri, Siri, This is broken. So funny.
Oh, you know, okay, so now I'm going to bring it up. I'm so fucking pissed off because Bernie Sanders is pissing me off. And there's one particular guy who I'm just going to ignore. I can't even look at his comment right now. There's one particular guy on my Facebook page who, you know, just he challenges me all the time. And that's fine. I mean, I don't mind people challenging me. But I know he started following me or became my friend when I was this big Bernie supporter. And I still like Bernie's vision. What I don't like is the way that he is handling all of this. And so there's a, he says he doesn't know Russian bots were promoting my campaign. And the real question to be asked is why the Clinton campaign didn't do something. And so I see this. And
about
I'm just,
the Russian bots following, helping him?
Yeah, all of it.
So why? Okay, well,
fuck was she supposed
to
do?
Exactly. You're supposed to do it.
Well, yeah,
you guys should know. You got to know who's promoting. You're running a presidential campaign,
and it's not,
and you don't know.
Yeah, and it's not just that. First of all, he knew that sexist bros were attacking. You know, I mean, I was complaining about the bros. I didn't really like the term Bernie bro. At, you know, while the campaign was going on, because as a supporter, I would get lumped in. But after a while, I was like, all right, there's bros, there's supporters, and then there's bros. I was a supporter. And then there's the fucking bros that were just rude and horrible. And, you know, look, we all have our passionate, you know, we're passionate when we support somebody, and that's fine. I understand that, but there's a difference. You know, both, I'd say, sides, Sanders and Clinton sides, could be very condescending to each other.
Very, very much so.
And because I supported both, I dealt with both of them.
You condescended on both sides.
Yeah,
just kidding.
Yeah, and I was so sick and tired of people coming around and taking that tone, that condescending tone. But this is different. What bothers me about Bernie is that he voted no on the sanctions. His argument for voting no on the Russia sanctions was that it included sanctions against Iran, and that they had been complying with whatever rules they needed to, so he didn't think it was fair. And it's like, you know what? Russia attacked our country.
Right.
And two senators did not vote for the sanctions, Rand Paul and Bernie Sanders. And then he also voted against, and I'm going to say it wrong, Magnitsky Act? Is that it?
Magnitsky.
Magnitsky, see? Magnitsky Act. He voted against that. He didn't come out and say, you know, to the Bernie bros to stop it. He doesn't talk about securing our elections. I don't trust him anymore. Do I think he's a tool for the Russian government? Not necessarily. I don't know what the deal is. I know Jen Kirkman has made some very interesting points on and gotten a lot of shit for it on Twitter because Tad Devine was his campaign manager, who Tad Devine worked with Paul Manafort. So, okay, that looks a little suspect. He also worked on the Al Gore campaign and the, John Kerry. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know what the deal is with Tad Devine. I think there are some questionable things going on there, but I'm not so quick to point my finger and say, oh, he's like Trump. But what he's doing, what Bernie is doing, is echoing Trump's talking points. He's pointing the finger at Hillary Clinton instead of asking, you know what, Mitch McConnell pressured Obama to stay quiet about the Russian attack because it would appear like a partisan thing. So why isn't he saying anything about McConnell?
I don't know, but this is the problem within the Democratic Party. It's like, hang on, Bernie. Point the finger where the finger should be pointed. It's not at Hillary Clinton. Stop the infighting. That was what this whole thing was about. It was like he stayed quiet during all of this infighting and the party divided. And now we're not the bad guys here. It's the Republican Party. It's the Mitch McConnells. It's the Devin Nunes's. It's the Paul Ryans and the, you know, the people that are aiding and abetting the Russian agenda. Why is Hillary even being brought up at this point?
Yeah, I know. She's not even in it anymore. God, it makes me so fucking
damn
angry.
It.
This guy makes me on my Facebook page. He makes me so. I knew he was going to say something as soon as he saw my post. I knew he was going to come and start bitching at me, and he's bitching at me now. And I'm not even going to engage with him. I just don't care. And you know what? Bernie's going to run again. And I did this little poll yesterday, which it was like on Twitter, only like 94 people or something like that. Answered, but my question mm-hmm. was, if you voted for Bernie in 2016, would you vote for him in 2020? I'm not going to. So I think it was like 84% of the people said no, that they wouldn't. So I think what's going to wind up happening, and you saw that I tweeted this yesterday, that, you know, he's going to run. I don't think he's going to make it out of the primaries, but the same thing's going to happen because you've got your full-on Bernie worshipers, because it goes beyond support. They worship him. You know, I mean, I saw people worshiping Hillary Clinton, and that
I was one of them.
I don't like when we worship them, because
I do. I know what you're saying. Yeah. I know what you're saying, because then they can do no wrong. I guess then I'm going to take that back. That I don't worship her. I admire her, and I think she would have made an amazing president. But I've moved on from that now.
Yeah.
And I also think she's. I think her time. The window, the door, you name it, it's closed.
Yeah.
We're moving on. Bernie needs to sit down, and let somebody else, maybe even someone a little younger, dare I say, go for this position.
Yeah.
Why would he do that?
He's not going to. And, you know, and he's going to. I mean, look, no matter who's running, the Russians are going to mess with us. And they're looking to sow discord. They're looking to get us divided. And, you know, I mean, we just can expect that. But Bernie is extremely divisive, you know, and I don't like the way that he handles himself by blaming Democrats for everything and kind of, treating them as if they are just as bad as Republicans. And in a way, he mm-hmm. does that. Maybe not, it doesn't go that far. But I mean, he still picks on them when he's supposed to be, you know, out there talking them up and getting people interested.
Well, he's
in
supposed
voting.
To be a party leader.
Yeah. So I am so over him. And frankly, if you're a Bernie supporter and you disagree with me, that's fine. I don't mind if you disagree. Look, I have plenty of friends who at the time when I was gung-ho Bernie, they were gung-ho Hillary. And I didn't defriend them on Facebook. I didn't scream. Sometimes I would not understand. I would think, why can't they see what I see and all this stuff? But, you know, if you don't like me because I don't like Bernie now, bye. Bye. I don't want to deal with it. I don't care what you know, if you're gonna be that stupid and petty, then leave. Leave. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I'm just mm-hmm. not in the fucking mood. You know, 2016 was so stressful for me. It was so stressful because I had it on both ends.
Right.
As the Bernie
right.
person and then the Hillary person.
Right.
And so mm-hmm. it was and so because I was Bernie to begin with. And wrote this glowing review or article about him in the Huffington Post. You know, I got all these Bernie supporters and they all started following me. So then when I supported Hillary, they're all like, what the fuck is your problem? Why aren't you voting Jill Stein? And then they would all like run away. Oh. And it's like, you know, the thing about...
Back to Russia.
Yeah. It's like, can we just recognize that our feelings and thoughts can evolve? Our perceptions
yes.
can evolve, can change mm-hmm. with new information? Mm-hmm. Just because I supported him once doesn't mean I'm, you know, and it's like, I've really learned what I take away from the 2016 election is no matter how much you like what a candidate says or how great a politician is, I don't ever want to put them on a pedestal. You know, I really like the candidate who's running for Illinois AG, Renato Mariotti. I think he's fucking awesome. But I also realize that he's a human being. And one day he might say something that will disappoint me. Maybe he will. So I'm not going to put him on a big pedestal. I like what I find is, what have you done? What are your actions? Of course, I like what do you say you're going to do? And then are you going to do it? And that's how I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm mm-hmm. not going to think that you're like, you know, above everybody else, because politicians have to do and say things that aren't necessarily true in order to win. For instance, both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton had to play that stupid, oh, marriage is between a man and a woman game. They had to do it because at
the
time.
Yeah, they did. they did have to do it at the time. I have to interject. I'm not going to stand for that shit anymore from my politicians. So I just want you to know. I'm not. I'm just not.
Yeah.
I hated when they both did that.
Yeah.
I liked the way they both came back from that because I also believe in second chances. But when someone is toeing the line for political reasons and saying something that they don't in their heart believe is true, I have to be pissed off at that.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to vote for anybody that and I'm sorry, I took this from you because you were on a rant. But this is a sticking point for me. I'm not going to do it anymore. Life's too fucking short. People are getting shot in schools. Yeah. People are getting shot on the streets. You know, people are being discriminated against. Unnecessary wars are being fought. Our political system is being hijacked by the Russians. I mean, there's too much going on here. People are taking donations from the gun lobby that funds and fuels their political careers. No more. Mm-hmm. No more. And so, sorry.
No.
Please continue.
I've been blabbing. Well, I mean, obviously I'll vote for them if they're the only shot, you know, like.
Oh, please. Of course.
But I mean, yes, as far as when it, you know, you're talking about primaries and stuff. Yeah, that's, I think one of the benefits, as I've said many times, of Bernie and Hillary is that we've got this whole new generation of people paying attention. I hate this shooting. I hate that this happened, that 17 people lost their lives. But if we're going to take a silver lining, it's that these children, these kids are rising up and they're saying no more. And there's no way they're going to be... You're not going to stop these kids. They
No.
are on fire. They are the new generation. And I'm for them and I'm rooting for them, but I feel so terrible for what they've experienced. And on top of it, they're dealing with fucking conservatives who are saying that they're crisis actors.
Yeah, those people are fucked up in the head. You know, the Dinesh D'Souza's. Who is that motherfucker, by the way?
Oh,
where
you know
did he go?
He's a fucking felon.
I know he's a felon, but what I refuse to invest my time researching him. Only, you know, I know what I know. He's obviously a right-wing crazy lunatic who puts things up on Twitter like, you know, he shows the kids yesterday in Tallahassee when... the state legislature decided not to enforce some, you know, gun laws, but they decided to declare porn as sort mm-hmm. of a health emergency or something. And then he tweets the article with the kids crying in the courtroom or wherever they were. And he writes, adults won, kids zero.
Yeah.
And then he does another tweet around the same topic. And he says, these kids have not been this sad since their parents told them they needed to find summer employment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what the hell kind of person has that thought, A,
yeah,
and B, has the gall to put it out there? And people support that? So anyway, why is he a felon? What did he do? And
I don't even remember. Bob was already.
How can we be done with him?
He's not. I can't. What is it that he did, Bob? I mean, what's his big claim to fame? I know that chicks on the right love him, and that when they were, I don't know, they were doing something, launching something, going on a. Oh, I know, it was their book tour. They got Dinesh to, or whatever stupid name is. To help them promote and all of that. So I don't know what he did, and I don't even remember why he went to jail, but he's just a horrible person. He's horrible.
Horrible.
How can anybody say anything like that?
I don't know.
But he's, you know, I mean, you've got even Bill O'Reilly today was questioning the fact that these children, I didn't even read his full tweet. It was something based on like, they've just experienced a tragedy. Do we really trust that they're the best people to be speaking at this moment? And it's like, these kids are freaking raw. And when Sandy Hook happened, I mean, those were little kids. They couldn't do anything like this. And the parents were just devastated. In this case, you've got young, articulate children, really, you know, teenage children who are fired up and intelligent, and they are you know what, actually, I feel really great because, you know, we're always saying how nobody's paying attention, especially young people. I think that their reaction and the things that they're saying, even though I'm sure they're getting help, and of course their views are mirroring their parents' views a lot of the time. Of course, that's what happens, mm-hmm. you know, whether you're a conservative or you're a liberal or whatever you are. But when I listen to them talk, what I see is that this is not the first time they've become aware of something like, you know, political. Or they talk as if they've been following events. They talk as if they understand what's happening with Donald Trump, especially when he tried to, you know, say that the FBI should have been investigating this instead of Russia, you know, and they understand what's going on.
Yeah, of course they do.
So, you know, and I mean, like, but so much of the time, you know, we either criticize young people for not paying attention, or young people are not paying attention because, you know, they're busy. They're going to prom and they're going on dates and they're not really worried about politics. And schools don't emphasize the importance of politics. And I can't even imagine what it would be like to be a teacher these days, because if you obviously have strong opinions and you want to bring something up, whether it's DACA, the Dreamers, or whatever, you know, if you have kind of a down-the-line opinion about this, both sides might think it's a partisan thing, and then parents come into the picture and start complaining. So it would be very difficult
to even talk
about politics.
I remember myself as a senior in high school, and I had a class called War and Peace, and it was I guess it would be considered like an AP sort of history class. You had that choice or something else, you know? Mm-hmm. But the teacher was famous for getting kids to talk about difficult moments in history that really brought up an emotional, you know, feeling around, you know, whether it was the Holocaust or the Vietnam War. And we used to have some of the most exciting discussions, and people often opposed one another. And he sort of served as a moderator and then would pose questions, but you know, politics, of course, came up because they were often so politically charged, these different times that we were discussing, you know, throughout the course of history. But what I think is happening right now with these kids at Stoneman Douglas, you know, they've been through the most life-altering experience that they will ever endure. Like, having a child doesn't hold a candle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is something that hopefully will never be repeated, but it's going to be with them forever, and it's going to shape who they are. And what's coming up, whether they're, you know, thinking about prom or going to swim team or, you know, studying for a play that they're going to be appearing in or whatever, they know the difference. And politics aside, they know the difference between right and wrong at this age. Mm-hmm. When you're 14 through 18, you know. And so what comes into play here, and this is my opinion, but for me, is human decency, dignity, truthfulness, right? And these are the things that are lacking so much in politics today. And so these kids are standing up, and it's just, they're speaking from the heart, and they're talking about those three things: truth, human dignity, decency, and to a degree, integrity, because they're calling all the politicians out who are taking money from the gun lobby. Mm-hmm. But I think this is what we need to get back to. And I think that's why it's so pivotal, because they do have these voices, and they're not going to let go.
No, they're not.
Until they see change. And I feel like that, I think that's the movement.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the one that we've all been hoping for, those of us who want to see, you know, Trump gone, or, you know, watch the, you know, these Republican blowhards, cow towers, secret keepers. I don't know what we're going to find out about some of these folks when the time to find it out happens.
Yeah.
But you know, this has to change. This is a pivotal time in our lives. This is history in the making. And it's been, you know, you and I have had this conversation before, but it's women. Mm-hmm. It's people of color. It's anybody who's been marginalized. It's folks who want to see decency restored and who want that to be the motivator. But this is our moment to speak up, to stand up, to be heard. And I told my kids this the other day. I said, we are going to the March for Life on March 24th.
Which is my mother's birthday.
Oh, perfect. And you can do it in D.C. with her.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But I told them, I said, you guys have opinions and they're valid opinions and your voice needs to be heard. And don't ever forget that. And that starts from when you're a little kid, because they can process this information and they see what's going on. And we want decent people in power down the road. You know, I mean, as sad and heartbreaking as it is, it's a moment for us to take a look at what these kids are doing and saying and saying to myself, you know, so I'm 52 years old and I'm, you know, I could be their parents, all of them. And I have something to learn from these people. I hope the politicians, you know, the Marco Rubios, who they continue to call out. Wouldn't it be beautiful if he said, you know what, NRA, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking another penny from you. And all these Jesus tweets and the feel good shit that I'm putting out there. And I actually mean those words and I actually walk the walk.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be beautiful? I would applaud him if he did that.
Yeah. Well, Bob knows. Bob's got your answer or the answer.
Here's what Dinesh D'Souza did to land him in jail.
Oh, well, thank you, Bob.
He was, you know, there are campaign finance laws that say you can only donate a certain amount of money to political candidates. Well, what he did is he orchestrated this scam where he convinced some friends to make $10,000 donations to a Senate candidate in New York named Wendy Long, and then he would just reimburse those friends the money. So basically, he was exceeding his own campaign finance limitations, and then he ended up making false statements to investigators about it. By the way, the U.S. attorney that brought him down, Preet Bharara.
All right.
Hell yeah, baby!
That's Dinesh D'Ooshbag.
D'Ooshbag, exactly.
Yeah, and of course, chicks on the right love him.
God. Well, they're...
they're so horrible.
Dim
you know, bats. I can't help. I go to
Dim
their page.
Bats. That's
it's
not
so funny
word.
Because I go to their page. I used to go to their page every day because they like when I first emerged onto the whole, you know, blog scene and whatever. They wrote about Rock the Slut Vote, and I had been asked to be the spokesperson for Rock the Slut Vote, and they trashed us. So I referred to them as bullies. I didn't even write a whole blog post about them, but in a blog post I referred to them as bullies, and which I want to say something about the kids in that in a second. I don't want to forget. So anyway, they saw that somehow. They must have Googled themselves and found that I wrote this, and then they did a whole piece on me. They I can't remember what it was called, and they all they had on me was that I wrote literally twice in a paragraph, and they everything that, you know, I think one of the things that I said that there were more liberals in than conservatives in this country. And then they used all these dumbass talking points to prove me wrong. And then it was funny because it was obviously the 2020 election season and then Barack won. Ha ha. So they were so convinced that, you know, they were going to win. But anyway, I used to go to their page every day because I couldn't help it. And they've changed since they began. It used to just be two women who are about our age. Now they've included two or three younger women who one of them was literally raised on Rush Limbaugh. So that's all you
that's
need to know
beautiful.
About that person. I think she went by the handle Red Dawn. And
ew.
Yeah. And so every once in a while now, I feel like I want to go over to their page and see what they say and see what their followers say. Because I can get a, you know, gauge on what the other side is saying. But it's so hard for me sometimes, especially when we get, well, it doesn't matter. Because if we get like what we think is a victory, you know, like, for instance, the other day when the indictments came down about the Russians, what was it that they took away? Trump is innocent. That's all they took. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, there
yeah,
you go.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like...
No, I'm
so
listening.
It was the Republican talking point. It was even Trump's talking point. I know. I'm like, are you still there? Did I just talk
He's
you
so
into oblivion?
Stupid. No, you didn't. I'm listening intently. No, of course that's what they said, because they hear what he says and they echo his words. And he's too stupid to even process the information. You think that fucking dumb fuck read... read however many 37 pages.
No.
No, of course he didn't. He doesn't understand anything. And he didn't even listen to Rod Rosenstein. It was this indictment. You, dude, your ass is going to be burning. And let me tell you something. He's freaking out because have you noticed that he's lost weight?
No.
Yes, look at him. He's lost weight.
Huh. Interesting.
I mean, that's serious.
Yeah.
Because I don't, you know, I'm a comfort eater, so.
Yeah,
but
me too.
I mean, there's a change going on with him. His tweets are manic.
They're manic.
They're more unhinged than they've been in forever. Like, if we just read in forever, in a few months or whatever.
Yeah.
But this crisis, this is on fire. I mean, Jared Kushner, I can't even keep up with all that's going on, but I don't know if you watched Rachel Maddow last night. Did you by any chance?
Yes.
Okay. Alex Van Der Swan, tied to the guy who Lawrence O'Donnell couldn't even pronounce his name. It was fucking hilarious.
I know, that was
Jermaine Gurman. Herman Kahn. Okay. Herman Kahn, who is the Alpha Bank co-founder or whatever, but like one of the Alpha Bank guys in Russia. He, Van Der Swan, worked with Manafort and Gates to, what was the memo that they wrote that was the black mark on Skadden? I mean, like, it was just, it was, I feel like I'm watching Gorky Park, you know, back high school. And
yes.
I get like a tenth of the messages that are being thrown at me because there's so much and it's so layered. But the best part was when Herman Kahn came into the picture and Rachel brings it around, and he is the father of the woman who is married to Van Der Swan, who pleaded fucking guilty yesterday.
Oh my God, I know. And freaking Manafort.
It's crazy.
Manafort is just feeling the heat, and there's a new sealed indictment.
Yes.
Which I'm going to go get this right now. But the fact that we've got Flynn. We've got Papadopoulos and Gates. Well,
Gates.
We don't know for sure if he's been flipped, right?
Oh, he's flipping.
Well, yeah, I know.
He has
a wife and kids.
He's not
like cooperating. Have they said specifically that he's cooperating? I don't think they've said specifically.
Oh, I think they were saying that he was cooperating earlier. What's today, Wednesday?
Uh-huh.
I feel like Monday I read and heard on the news that he was cooperating. Or that was the speculation.
I think it's speculation. I don't think it's absolute at this point, unless I'm wrong. Am I wrong, Bob? Do you know?
I think it's all been confirmed. Rick Gates was spotted walking into court today.
So. Yeah, so Rick Gates was spotted. Okay, so he says it's all but confirmed. So basically, I mean, yeah, we know it, but it hasn't really been confirmed yet. Like, they're not saying it's absolute, but it's happening. But anyway, Renato Mariotti, who I love...
our best man.
I know, you know, it's like, I know I sound like I'm being paid by him or something, but I'm not. I think I've said this before, but you know, he contacted me back in December and just said, hey, you know, would you help me amplify my campaign? Because I had always shared his like threads on Trump Russia and all that. So I said, you know, sure. And then there's a group of us. So, you know, he and his campaign manager asked us, the group that he's asking to help, we want to have a conference call. We would like for you guys to make some suggestions on what we should do. So I brought up the Equal Rights Amendment. He ran with it. I said, you know, I gave him a couple of suggestions that I thought would be good. They followed up with me. They were like, okay, well, what about this? And then they took my advice. So I don't like him just because he took my advice, but my point is that this guy walks the walk, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I liked him before, first of all, before he even announced that he was running for AG, I was retweeting him, and you know, and he was always thanking me. You know, he'd always come by and he'd thank me for, he'd like or whatever, he'd acknowledge that I retweeted him or whatever it was. And you know, and the more that I learn about him, I mean, God, he made this video the other day saying he wasn't afraid of Trump because he's a cancer survivor. He was a lawyer who tried cases while he had cancer. One of the clients or somebody that he was dealing with escaped from jail to try to kill him. And he's like, right. You know what?
I'm
please. Not even afraid of Trump. So this guy.
Who is?
Right. Well, but this guy, you know, sometimes I feel like when I promote him, I think people would say, why is she so, you know, but that's why. Because this guy is one of the coolest candidates I've ever encountered. So anyway,
right.
He said that.
Well, I'm with you on that front. I mean, I've seen him. He's an expert. You know, he's one of the guys on the panel a lot at MSNBC.
Yes.
Because he's so adept at sort of navigating anything legal, right?
Yeah.
And he speaks so clearly and he seems like a real humble dude.
Yes, I really get that he's humble. His father works at Walmart and his mother like answers phones or something or does some kind, you know, he doesn't come from money. He comes from, he's just like an average American who, you know, his parents, I think, worked two jobs each to put him through whatever, like, and I think Yale or something. I mean, the guy is just, he really inspires me and I really like him a lot. So he's saying that, so new charges filed under seal in the criminal case against Manafort and Gates. Fact that indictment is under seal suggests that either new defendants were added, more likely, or allegations that need to be redacted before they're made public. And then he says the new charges against Manafort and Gates would strengthen a case that already appears to be overwhelming, with conspiracy changes spanning years. And certain crimes like failure to disclose foreign bank accounts to register as to register as a foreign agent. So anyway, that's an interesting little thing. And it says the charges could give Gates a reason to flip on Manafort. And that's the whole point, because if we've got Gates, Manafort, Flynn and Papadopoulos all saying the same thing. Oh, my God. I mean, like, Trump is going to weigh 3 pounds. If he's losing weight.
I mean, the diarrhea that must be just running through his system on a daily is just beyond.
Yeah.
Those Filet-O-Fish are just flying through. I'm sorry.
Do not be sorry.
I'm gross.
No, but it's true. It's like he's so afraid and he, oh my God, you know, going back to this whole theory of, you know, that he, I'm starting to lose my... I hate when I get so excited about things that... I can't even remember. Okay, maybe we should just talk about something else.
Hey, let me ask you something. Huh? You know, I want to ask you about Al Franken before we lose ourselves again.
Yes.
I mean, lose ourselves in this amazing discussion because there's just so much. But there's so much to know and so many things that are taking my attention. But I don't want to forget what happened to Al Franken. And yeah. I don't want anybody to forget that whether it was Russian bots that were, you know, or the right with Leanne Tweeden, there's a name. I mean, her fame lasted what, 5 days?
Right.
You know, whether those assholes fabricated this information to take him down. Let's not forget that Kirsten Gillibrand.
Yes.
Spearheaded the movement to and pressured him to step down when he was one of our Democratic Party's greatest truth tellers and fighters. And I feel a tremendous loss. Yes, we got Doug Jones and that's great, but Al Franken had to hang his head in shame and walk away. Mm-hmm. And now people like Richard Painter, another one that I love,
I know,
are saying, screw that.
Yeah.
Franken needs to run for governor.
Yes, I agree.
And I don't, you know, I want to start putting that out there. You've got a big following, you know, and you're hobnobbing with people like Renato Mariotti, excuse me. But, you know, let's get that shit trending. I'll put it out to my 800 plus, but I'm saying let's get, I want Al Franken on my side.
Yeah.
I think he was just, you know, yeah, he was just getting warmed up. Yeah. You know, and let's put him back out there.
He was the one who brought up that stuff about Sessions and had to recuse himself because caught him, you know, BSing. And, you know, I didn't really say a whole lot about how I felt with the Franken thing because I was kind of not sure what to think. You know, here we are in the
Me Too movement. I flip-flopped a couple times, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at first, my first reaction was I was upset. And I didn't want to hear anybody defending him because I didn't really understand what was happening and it pissed me off what I heard. But then, of course, we learned fucking Roger Stone tweeted about it the night before, right. You know, because with the tweet and thing. And then new other people were coming out, but it's very suspect. It was all very suspect. And in the end, instead of having to leave, there should have just been an investigation. And we should have, you know, dealt with the outcome of that investigation as opposed to making him leave. And I disagree with Gillibrand. I'm very upset with her for doing that. I don't know if it was because she thought she was going to be a hero and she wants to run for president. I mean, I like her in every other way. She's been fighting to get a third party to assess, you know, when there's rape charges in the military. Because right now, all you can do is report a rape to a commanding officer. So if you were raped by your commanding officer, you're kind of screwed. Or, you know, if your commanding officer is best buddies with one of the rapists, you're not going to be believed. So I do believe we need third parties in there to investigate sexual assault. I really like her efforts in many areas, but this whole Al Franken thing was extremely upsetting to me. And I have to say, it's like you said, it hurts my heart. It's extremely upsetting that he had to leave. I don't like it, and I don't think he should have left. I think he should have at least gone. He invited an investigation. That's what should have happened. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I think I'll definitely be pushing for Franken on Twitter because I don't think that he should have left. I just don't think he should have left. But we'll see what he does because, you know, this country loves to knock people down and then lift them back up. That's what we do, you know.
Yeah. And I also, you know, when that whole thing came out, I was immediately, it was like right in, you know, Me Too was on fire, Weinstein, all that shit had just come out. And I was, I immediately jumped on the, get him out of here. And then I took a breath and I watched some of the other information and the photos coming out where clearly, you know, the fake sleeping and he's pretending to grab her boobs. So what? I mean, the crude shit I've done in my life, you know, the gesture, whatever. We act like idiots. At that time, he didn't know he was running for senator, but he didn't, you know, pull her pants down and do something while she was passed out.
Well,
I mean,
it seemed to me that supposedly she was in on that. And
yeah, that's what I heard too.
Yeah. And the thing is that I wasn't there, so I don't know. But
exactly
what I will say is, judging from the picture, it just looks like he was horsing around.
He was just
being stupid. And let's just say she was legitimately asleep. If she was legitimately asleep, it was in really, really bad taste. And he was a comedian, and it's something that it shouldn't have happened. But I honestly think that they were part of it was like a gag. I think it was like a promotional ha-ha because of the look on his face. The look on his face was like, hey, I'm going to grab our boobies. And it just looked
he was
trying to be funny.
It was juvenile.
Juvenile humor.
Yeah, it was juvenile. Well, and then there were videos that were later released that showed her with her legs wrapped around him. And
She was doing the same thing.
It became suspect, right? And then, oh, she's getting a book deal and she's appearing on television. And, oh, look, Roger Stone's involved. Anyway, all the stuff that you mentioned. But I'm going to, because things are just so rapid fire and there's so much bullshit and crime going on, that I'm going to be less knee-jerk, right? Yeah. I think Kirsten Gillibrand was too knee-jerk, but I also believe she was motivated by her desire to run for president. And because she did that, I don't think she will get to that point. Not this time around.
Yeah,
I think she hosed herself out of a nomination.
Yeah, I think so too.
Or even really a run for the nomination.
That brings me, which the episode I didn't watch, I watched one of them, but then there was it wasn't last week, it was the week before, on Bill Maher, and he was complaining about the Me Too movement. And his whole point is that, okay, there's differences in offenses, right? So, and I agree with him on this. Like, for instance, what Franken did he shouldn't have had to leave for this. He didn't rape anybody. So obviously, let's say you grab a woman's ass. Of course, it's not the same thing as rape. This is a very nuanced conversation if you're going to have it, because, for instance, when you've got that guy who, Azir, what's that guy's name? Azir something? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Aziz,
who, there was that whole story where the woman was upset because she went out on a date and he pressured her for sex, and he didn't rape her and all of that, but I understand her point of view. He never denied any of this, never denied the account. He just apologized and said he misread. I don't believe that. I'm a woman. I've been involved in situations where men have exerted their pressure, and it's bullshit to say that they just didn't want to. They were exercising their patriarchy privilege when they push. And again, it's not the same as rape. And and then you've got people blaming the women, saying, well, why didn't you just leave? Well, we don't know. Sometimes when you're a woman, you don't know if it's safe. What if I try to leave and he kills me? What if I try to leave and he beats me up? So you go along with it because you're afraid something worse will happen. But to get back to Bill Maher, he made some kind of a comment like, oh, well, brushing up against the arm is not the same as rape. Okay, number one, where are the women who are screaming about men brushing up against their arm? It's not happening. You have the one big deal case of Al Franken, which I'll give him, which he's very upset about, and so am I. But Liam Neeson is saying this, and other men are complaining that this Me Too movement is going too far, and how do we know that if we're not going to be accused of sexual this? It's like, what about the fucking millions of women who have been legitimate victims? Where's your concern for them? You're worrying about the what ifs that have never happened, and then with this whole Bill Maher explaining to us women how to fucking behave, it's like, you wouldn't go to a black person and tell them that just because they weren't a slave, they should be okay with the fact that they were followed around in a store by a store associate who didn't trust them. You know, there are always shades of and degrees of behavior. So, you know, a black person who walks into any kind of, you know, retail establishment and is followed around by security is experiencing a form of discrimination that makes them uncomfortable, it's unnecessary, and it's racist. And so the same thing can be said for the Me Too movement, where, okay, not everything is rape, not everything is sexual assault, and there are various degrees. But it's not up to Bill Maher to decide how women are going to behave about every goddamn thing men do to us, because he hasn't walked in our shoes. And it's not like every man is losing his job. The men, for the most part, with the exception of Al Franken, who have lost their jobs or anything like that, are men who haven't denied it, or men like, what's his name? The comedian, I can't remember his
Louis.
Name. Louis C.K. You know, who he didn't deny any of this. You know,
I hated his apology.
Yes, his apology was horrible. But I mean, but the point is that they weren't denying that it's not like they were victims of smear campaigns, which I think Al Franken was. So I get Bill Maher's bigger picture point in that, okay, we can't have the knee-jerk reactions. We can't just fire everybody and push everybody out. You know, like, for instance, I didn't think Aziz should lose his position as an actor. I think that it's good to have these conversations because it's true where, you know, I think I've talked about this on the show before. When I was younger, I was in a situation where I stupidly went into this guy's, you know, I met a guy, I liked him, I went to his apartment late at night, he wanted to have sex with me, and I liked him, and I thought he was attractive, And I probably would have had sex with him, you know, weeks later after I got to know him. But I thought to myself, what if I try to leave his apartment at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. or whatever time it was, and he tries to rape me? I'll never get over it. So, okay, I'll just have sex with him. And I mean, I was little. I was not little, but I mean, I was like, I was like 21 or 22.
Yeah.
I was really young. I was really naive. And I made some stupid choices. And I thought, okay, well, in order to save myself from the pain of being raped, just in case, I'm just going to go for it.
I'm going to screw him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was my whole reason. Because
that was the better choice at the time.
Yeah.
But that, yeah. And I know where what you're getting at with that. It's like, here's this... This assertion of the patriarchy, like I'm entitled because I have a cock, and so I am going to be in charge of this situation. And whether you want to have sex with me or whether you're afraid that you're going to be raped, you're going to do it because that's the easier thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the hell?
It's a stupid, and that's part of the whole problem. And that's something that someone like Bill Maher just doesn't even understand. You know, I mean, it's really easy to, I've told this story before, and I've gotten, you know, people critique me and they go, oh, well, you're bitching and complaining and you made a stupid decision. It's like, yes, I admit I made a stupid decision. And this is how in my young mind, I thought I would probably be the safest, whether or not it was true, because now looking back, I can easily say, I don't think this guy would have tried to rape me. But I didn't know. That was the whole point. I didn't know. And so, you know, I was trying to save myself from a potentially dangerous situation that I didn't get the feeling was going to happen, but I just thought, what if? Okay, it's not worth it. So, you know, it just makes me mad when I see men, because I think Liam Neeson, who was like my biggest crush of all time. I mean, I used to have crushes on, you know, whoever. I had tons of them. Liam was like my man. I've loved him. And for a long ass time, too. But then I saw that he was bitching and complaining about the Me Too movement. And I can't remember the words he used, but it was the Dustin Hoffman story that he specified and pointed out and said something along the lines of how it wasn't that bad or whatever he said. And there was a couple of different Dustin Hoffman stories. And what really disappointed me about Dustin was everything that happened came out after he played the role of Tootsie, which, mm-hmm. you know, he in the movie, you know, specifically addressed the sexism. And then years later, I don't know, it was like 2013, 2014, he's crying in some video about, oh, women have it so hard. Now I know what it's like. And it's like he did this after the movie when he literally walked in women's shoes and, yep. you know, and he played a role, but he understood what women deal with. And so yes. that was very disappointing to me to see that he behaved, you know, the way that he did with two different women. And then Liam Neeson is saying that, you know, something rude or cruel about the women who experienced sexism from him. So, you know, whatever. I'm over all of them. They just piss me off. What are you going to do? They're just going to have to get over it because women aren't taking it anymore. We're just not going to take mm-hmm. it anymore. And nope. the way I look at it is, as much as I don't want, of course I don't want, and neither do you and neither do most people. It's not that we're rooting for, you know, women to just take men down. And then and maybe there's going to be, just like there was with the Al Franken thing, bullshit stories out there. And some men might experience a fallout because of that are innocent. Of course, I don't want that to happen. But mm-hmm. in the bigger picture, for centuries, women have not even had jobs, or when they had jobs, they lost jobs. They've been violently assaulted. They've been raped. They haven't been believed. So I'm on their side. I don't give a shit about the maybes that might happen. Mm-mm. I care about the women who have had to keep their mouth shut because they had no other choice. They had to feed their kids, they had to pay their rent, and they had to put up with abuse because they didn't have a choice. So those are that's the side I'm on right now.
Yep. I'm with you, baby.
Well, you know, before we go into another thing, I do want to tell people the End Another Thing segment is what you're going to get when you subscribe for $5 to our podcast. At Patreon, what is it? Patreon.com/startmeup. We're going to talk about on a couple of different personal things, but one of them is the O shot. Do you know what the O shot is?
No, but I know it's nasty.
Well, what it is, it's like, I guess it stands for the orgasm shot. And so it's I'm going to explain it more in detail in the next segment. But it's basically something that will enhance your orgasms. And before anybody says they don't need it, I should take that back. I should say anybody who says they don't need it is saying they don't need more intense orgasms. So but there are other benefits. There's actually a medical benefit to the O shot. So so we're going to talk about that. And well, for some people, there's a medical benefit. And I would recommend for anybody who's not going to be getting our And Another Thing segment, just go Google the O shot. And look up reviews and look up what women are saying about it, because it's something that I'm going to do. But anyway, so before we go, I'm just going to remind you that you can support our show at patreon.com/startmeup. And you can give a dollar if you want, a dollar a month. Or you can do like $5 a month, which will get you into another thing and another thing. And I have specifically chosen this song. Do you know why?
I don't.
All right.
Hang on.
No, it's number 10.
Who the hell is it?
It's Talking Heads.
Oh, yeah!
The song is called Swamp.
It's a Talking Heads.
Yes, the song is called Swamp. Because that's where I'm moving.
You are moving to the swamp.
This song was in Risky Business. Do you remember it?
No.
They even say Risky Business in the lyrics.
I thought I knew everything about that movie.
All right. Well, this is signing off from California, the last podcast in California.
I'm going to miss you even though I'm not in the same room as you.
All right, everybody. Stay tuned for And Another Thing, and we're going to talk about orgasms.